beautiful song. Amen. Beautiful song. And y'all did good on it. Amen. Did good on it. But I'm glad for that day. What a day that will be. Amen. When we lay our burdens down, when we see Him, amen, see Him as He is, we'll be like Him. That's what the Bible said. For we shall see Him as He is. Amen. Amen. All right, if you've got your Bible, I'd like to be turning to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18 for our Bible reading tonight. I mentioned this morning that I was going to try to return to this verse and return to this thought about the fundamentals of friendship. Talking about friendship. And I want to deal with that this evening by the help of the Lord as well. I mentioned that I had 10 points that I'd like to bring out in those fundamentals of friendship. And we'll look at those. We dealt with 5 already. I'll give you those 5 as we begin. And then we'll look at 5 more tonight. I don't think I'll be very long in that. And try to deal with this thought. Everybody needs a friend. Amen. Everybody needs a friend. There's one friend in particular that everybody needs. Amen. And I believe that is spoken of in our text. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. Last verse of this chapter. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to read that again and think on it. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please? Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I mentioned to you before when we started looking at this verse that I've always looked at it as a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I've looked at that phrase as if you're going to make friends, you got to be friendly. Most people, Brother Ronnie Simpson said it this morning. He said it's sort of hard to pat a pit bull on the head when he's got a hold of the seat of your britches. Amen. Most people don't reach out to somebody with a scowl on their face or with their fist balled up. They reach out to somebody that looks to be approachable. And so that's the thought that I've always used. But that's not the context. That's not the... He doesn't say a man that's going to get friends. He says if you've got friends, you're going to have to be friendly. You're going to have to show yourself friendly. In other words, he's talking about maintaining friendship. Amen. And so there is the need of that. I mentioned to you how that I believe everybody needs 2 kinds of friends. Again, they're mentioning this. We need vertical friends around us, and then we need a horizontal friendship, that being the Lord. I use it this way. We need human friends, and we need a heavenly friend. Amen. And I'm glad Jesus is that friend. I don't know that this proverb was written as a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. I don't know if whoever that wrote this proverb actually intended in their mind thinking about the Son of God, but it fits Him so well. You can't read it without seeing that it obviously speaks of Him better than anything else. But there's a truth in there as well. Sometimes friendships can actually be almost closer than the bond of family. That's the statement that he's making. Sometimes a friend, there is a friend, sometimes a friend will be closer to you than a brother will. Amen. There's been times when I was in school, we'd get in a squabble, maybe playing a game, and we'd get in a squabble, and my friends would be with me, but my brother wasn't with me. He's on the other side. and was against each other. Sometimes that's the case. And he mentions it in this text as well. I believe that we can see that. But as I thought about the fundamentals, just some basic things about friendship. I threw out five of them already. I want to mention them again. And then we'll pick up the next five, as I said, not be long with it. All of these, not just any of them, but all of these, you can see it humanly, and you can see the Lord Jesus in it. And so I want to point out not only our responsibility as humans, but I want to show you how the Lord fits that also as well. First of all, friends listen. Amen. Friends will listen to you. They're not just telling you their side. They're not just telling you their opinion. They will actually listen. That's a good friend. Amen. Friends, number two, share interests. They have some things in common. Amen. Number three, friends protect each other. Amen. Go back to that standing up for each other. Friends, number four, friends tell the truth. The Bible talks about the wounds of a friend being faithful. I told you that I read somewhere, and I don't remember now who it was that said it, but somebody made the statement that a friend is somebody that won't stab you in the back. They'll stab you in the front. Amen. They hurt you, but they don't hurt you to hurt you. Somebody else said it this way. They said a criticism from a friend is like a scalpel. It only cuts to heal. That is good. That's a good point. So friends tell the truth. And then, number five, the last one we looked at, friends overlook faults. Amen. Friends know that you do have some qualities that are not the best, and yet they're still your friend. Amen. Now, I feel like it'd be wise to repeat a warning, I guess, that I gave, and that is this, especially to young people, because sometimes young people, sometimes they get a misunderstanding. Nobody wants to be a snitch. Nobody wants to be a rat. Amen. Nobody wants to be one that's always telling on somebody else. But let me say this. If you've got a friend that's involved in activity that's going to hurt him or her or going to hurt others, you're not helping them by covering for them. Amen. I'm not saying that you ought to snitch or rat, but I am saying that somebody that cares about them and somebody that's in authority over them needs to know about that so that they can help. You're not helping them by covering up, but you might help them by revealing that this person has a problem. Amen. And trying to get some help for the problem. Amen. Now, we're at number six, and we'll go through 10 of them. Number six, I've got down friends bear burdens. When you have a trouble, friends pick up your trouble alongside you. Friends help you with that trouble. Amen. A genuine friend will help you carry your load. Amen. Amen. Friends will be there to help when trouble comes. A lot of times life hands us some pretty heavy burdens. Amen. It's not out of God's will or in God's will. It's just a fact of living. Living sometimes has troubles. Living sometimes has burdens. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe you have a handicap of some time. Maybe poor health comes your way or you lose a loved one. A friend will be there to help you carry that load. Amen. A friend is somebody I talked about earlier that will listen, but there'll be somebody there that will help you carry your load. In social media, through Twitter, through Facebook, and I don't know about a lot of the other things, and I don't really know a whole lot about them. I'm just going on what I've heard. You have friends. You have followers. In those cases, it's easy to talk about how much you care about somebody. It's easy to give good words when they're hundreds of miles away and you don't have to lift a finger other than to push a key on a notepad or a keypad. Easy to be a real, but that's not really being a real friend. A real friend is somebody that sits with you, somebody that actually puts their arm around you, somebody, and I'm talking about when they can, they actually do something about what is burdening you. Amen. And so they're there. The Bible tells us that we ought to be that kind of friend. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how Christ did. He gave us the rule. He gave us the law. That law is that you bear one another's burdens. For example, when somebody says, I'm burdened about my loved one, then you help them with that burden. You pray with them about that. Amen. When somebody tells you about a need, you pray with them about that need. Matter of fact, I mentioned about Brother Moyes needing prayer. There's how we can be a friend to him, by lifting him up in prayer. Matter of fact, that's how we can be a friend to that church, is by lifting them up in prayer. Amen. Asking God to help. And so that's bearing one another's burdens. Proverbs 17:17, the next page over, we read it 2 weeks ago when we looked at it. He says, a friend that loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's the kind of friend. You're there for them even when they're down. Amen. You're there for them. But let me say, not only in the human realm, but our Lord Jesus. Because He's our friend, He bears our burdens. Amen. He bears the burdens for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. I'm glad I've got a friend. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That's what the song says. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Amen. He is a friend that's willing to take our burdens. Matthew chapter number 11, you know, verse 28, 29, and 30. Our Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Jesus is willing to bear your burden. That's the kind of friend He is. Amen. What a privilege it is to bow our knees in His presence and tell Him our troubles. Amen. Amen. I know that these two families in here, the Gearing family, the Shepherd family right now, there's a lot of stuff going on right now around this wedding, and it's a long distance deal. People flying in, people making reservations, people making plans. I know Brother and Sister Gearing got a lot on their plate. My wife has got a lot on hers. Amen. And I try to do what I can. I say, don't worry about it. Do like me. Don't worry about it. Let somebody else handle it. Amen. No. But in this situation, this is just one. And you've got things in your life, maybe not a wedding going on right now. But, and by the way, when this is over, we'll say, whew, but there'll be something else the next week. Amen. There'll be something else on down the line. I mean, but in this, these things, when these things come, what a privilege it is to say, Lord, I'm almost overwhelmed. Would you help me? And to know that He's a very present help in time of need. Amen. Very present help. So, friends bear burdens. Amen. If you got a problem, you can tell it to your friend. Amen. Number 7, friends are loyal. Faithful is another word for that. A true friend is somebody you can count on. Amen. Amen. Genuine friends stick together. Amen. They're loyal to one another. I was amazed in this hearing of Judge Kavanaugh, and I don't want to go too much into that and to get in dwelling politics, but amazed that when this accusation came up from 36 years ago, that in 30 minutes' time, he had over 65 women sign a petition saying that they've known him that many years or many years and nothing had ever happened. How did he get that happen so quickly? I'll tell you how. He had friends. He has a network of people. Amen. People that he stayed in contact with. Not just that he once knew, but that he stayed in contact with those. Amen. Of course, that's politically wise, just to be honest with you. That's part of politics. That's how it works. And Brother Simpson said this too. It's pretty good. The word poly means many, and the word ticks means bloodsucker. So many bloodsuckers. But politics deals with pulling on more than one person. Amen. Pulling on a lot of people. And sticking up for one another. Here's what amazes me. Now, and again, I know it's politics. I know that, to be honest with you, the people on the Republican side don't care a whit about him and his lifestyle or her and hers. They couldn't care less. They're just interested in politics.
Right.
Amen. People on the left, the Democrat, they couldn't care a bit about his life or her life. They're willing to wreck anybody's life to further their goal. Amen. They couldn't care less. But here's what I'm amazed. I'm amazed that when it wasn't a Supreme Court nominee, and by the way, this woman hasn't even accused him of rape. All she's done is said that there was improprieties that could have led to rape. But we had a man in the White House, was accused of rape. And some of these same people so upset about an accusation, not of rape, of something much less serious, and a man in much less of a position, stood together, locked arms together, and said, we're not listening to any of that. We're not going to hear any of that. Amen. Why is it that the world's crowd can stand together? You know what Christians do? We hear a word, we hear that Brother Bell, just a little something said, you know what we do? I thought that all along. Yep, I knew it. He looked shady. That's right. You knew it, didn't you? Amen. I thought something was wrong. What we do? One of our brothers gets down a little bit. We stomp on him while he's down. We kick him while he's down. That's not the way real friends are supposed to do.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Real friends are supposed to lock arms and stand together. Amen. Amen. We can see that with friends. We can see that with... By the way, marriage ought to be that way. Since we've got a couple thinking about marriage, marriage ought to be that way. You ought to stand together. Amen. All to stand together. Real friends, genuine friends stick together, they're loyal. Someone may pretend to be a friend today and gone tomorrow. But that's not a real friend. That's a pretend friend. Scripture text that I read before, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. Amen. Because Jesus is our friend, He made us a promise in Hebrews 13:5, it says, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Amen. You remember Luke chapter 15, there's the prodigal son. When he ran out of money, by the way, when he had money, when he could buy the rounds, he had friends. Supposed. Friends, yeah. When he ran out of money, he realized the friends ran off because they weren't real friends. But even when he went back home, his brother didn't prove to be a real friend.
Right.
His brother wasn't happy that he was home. His brother wasn't happy that he'd got right. But his daddy proved to be a real friend.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, that's how our God and Father in heaven is. Amen. He's a real friend. Faithfulness. I'm showing the faithfulness of our Lord. Showing the faithfulness of Jesus. I say again, what a friend. Amen. We have in Jesus. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Amen. Amen. Friends are loyal. Friends bear burdens. Number 8, friends bring out our best. Friends bring out our best. A true friend brings out your best qualities. Amen. A true friend will help you stand up straighter. That's what a real friend will do. Wrong friends will make you have to walk with your head down and ashamed and afraid to look around. Amen. But a good friend will bring out the best quality in you. A good friend will encourage you to live pure and holy and righteous. A good friend will encourage you to do that is best. Amen. They always encourage us to do our best, and they always encourage us to be our best. Amen. If somebody's always telling you, you can't do that. You ain't smart enough to do that. You ain't good enough to do that. That's not a good friend. A good friend says, you know, I got confidence in you. If you don't succeed, at least you gave it your best. They encourage you in that realm. That's what a good friend is. Well, I'm glad our Lord's that kind of way. Matter of fact, talking about a good friend, the Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Amen. Makes you better. It makes you sharper. It makes you bolder. Amen. When you're real friends one with another. But our Lord Jesus is looking out for our best. Amen. He brings out the best in us. Even when troubles come our way. Here, that great text, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for our good. Why does it work together for our good? Because we got a friend in the right place. We got a friend working for us. What's he working for us? He's working all things for our good. Amen. That's a good friend. James chapter number 1 and verses 2 and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Again, we've got a God that's working on us in the trial we're in to try to help us and make us better. Amen. Make us better. I remember I mentioned some time ago, probably when I was preaching on friends, about friends I had in school, elementary school and high school. And I mentioned about Wesley Dancy. His dad was a mailman. And Wesley was good at basketball. One of his best, Wesley Dancy and Mark Whittington were good at basketball. I wasn't good. You ain't gonna believe this, but when I was a little boy, I was chubby. I outgrew it. Now I'm fat. You didn't have to vote for that, Canaan. Amen. But Wesley and Mark was good. But here's what, both of them, their best thing was free throw shooting. And I told you about Jim Spanarkle played for Duke, and that's what got me to pulling for Duke. And I know that's all carnal, but I'm going to have a spiritual lesson if you'll bear with me, if you can stay with me. Mark Whittington would take the basketball by the sides like this, put his hand around, and spin it. That's how he'd shoot a free throw. It wasn't a granny shot, you know, that would look funny, but he'd spin that thing, and I mean just, shoop, shoop, man, he'd just net the ball. I mean, just net it about every time. And when our school, I never did make the team. I never was good enough to make the team. But when I was in school, them boys would make it. And if Mark got fouled or Wesley got fouled, you could mark her down at least one point. At least one point. Most of the time, 2 points. Because them boys was good at free throws. I'm telling you that for this. Not to build them boys up. But to tell you this. When I started being friends with them, you know what they did? They tried to help me with my free throw shooting. They tried to encourage. They didn't say, "You'll never be as good as us." They didn't say, "You can't do that. You'll never." What? Why do you need to shoot free throws? Because it was important to me. I liked it. They liked me. I liked them. So we worked on it together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. These things, listen, there's things that people are doing for God. Maybe it's not exactly what you're doing, but it's not sinful. It's right. It's good. I tell you what, dude, don't discourage them. Be a friend to them. Encourage them. Amen. Maybe, listen, for example, maybe you're not singing in the choir. Encourage the ones that are. Amen. Maybe you're not teaching Sunday school. Encourage the ones that are. Amen. I could say a million things about that, but friends tend to bring out the best in others. Number 9, this goes along with it, a true friend builds us up spiritually. Friends build each other up spiritually. Again, it's not trying to tear you down, but a real friend, their goal for you is for you to be your best for Jesus. Their goal for you is for you to be more like Jesus. Amen. Somebody said this, I wrote it down. He said, "A friend is someone who knows you as you are, understands where you've been, accepts what you've become, and gently invites you to grow better."
Right.
Amen. I'll read that again because that's good. A friend is someone who knows you as you are, understands where you've been, accepts what you've become, and still gently invites you to grow better. Amen. Your best friends, not necessarily those that you play with or those you shop with or those you live around. Your best friends are those that pray for you. Amen. Your best friends are those that lovingly guide you spiritually. Amen. That crowd's always trying to get you to listen to country music. They're not friends. That crowd always trying to get you to drink. They're not friends. Trying to get you to slip around and smoke. They're not friends. Amen. I tell you what they'll do. When they get you to take a toke on that cigarette and you vomit, they'll laugh at you. And then they'll go and tell somebody else. Amen. What a sissy. That's what they'll say. What a sissy. I tell you what, a real friend is praying for you. A real friend wants to encourage you in spirituality and guide you spiritually. Jesus is our friend. That's the way He guides us. Amen. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. He's interested in us growing. He's interested in us getting born again, but that's not all. Not just born into the family. He wants us to grow in the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Amen. Amen. You young men and ladies, young ladies, that are getting interested in members of the opposite sex, I say praise God. Amen. It's not normal. Listen to me now. It's not normal. Might be socially acceptable, but it's not normal. It's perverted for people to have a longing for people of the same sex. Amen. I'm not just going to make fun of it. I'm not just going to, you know, try to run that down. I pray for people that are in that, but that's not normal. That's not acceptable. Matter of fact, it's not normal even to have those tendencies, even if you don't act on those tendencies. It's not normal. Push them aside. Ask God for help, and God can, I believe, help you. Amen. But for these that are having these feelings, and maybe your eyes are opening, and all of a sudden you're realizing girls are not so yucky after all. Or boys are not so yucky after all. Boy, are you fooled. Yeah. But when you're in that stage, let me say this, a real friend won't encourage you to do wrong towards the opposite sex. They'll encourage you to do right by the opposite sex. I believe that's right. I know it's right, matter of fact. Amen. I realize that some of that stuff, some things there, it's fun, it's exciting, it's thrilling, it's so pushed in our society. They talk about to be a real man. And they've got words. I won't even use the words they use. But you know the slang and the things they use about a boy that's quote unquote been around, been there, done that, and trying to make it look like that's something. Like you've really done something. I'll tell you what's a real testimony. It's somebody that can say, I stayed pure to the wedding altar. Amen. Somebody that can say, I stayed pure not just to the wedding altar, but I've stayed true to my wife all my life. Amen. That's a real testimony. Amen. That's a testimony you ought to have. Amen. And you ought to be encouraged in that avenue. All right. Then the last point, this is simple, just really simple. A true friend is somebody that loves you. Friends love each other. Amen. Friends. I'm not talking about a marital relation, although married people ought to be friends. Amen. But a real friend is somebody that genuinely loves you. It goes right back to what I'm saying already. They want the best for you. Genuine friends express their love in words, but they express it most clearly in deeds. They show that they love us. Amen. Real friends show that they love you. The best example I know of that is Jesus Christ. He proved His love for us. He said this in John 15:13. You know it well. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Romans 5:8, I believe it is. But God commendeth His love toward us. The word commendeth, He showed, He recommended, He revealed His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. A real friend loves you and proves it. He don't just say it. He proves it by being there. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder how many true friends we have. Probably not as many as we think we have. Probably not the 200 and some that Facebook says you got, or that Twitter says you got. Probably not. Probably much fewer than that. But if you've got some good friends, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. But even if you have no friend on earth, if you're like David when he was fleeing from Absalom, and David said, No man cared for my soul. Nobody cares about me. You might feel that way. I mean, sometimes it might even look that way. I mean, you send out SOS and nobody responds. You dial 911 and it's either busy or it just rings off the hook. Nobody's there to help. I'm telling you, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that genuinely loves it and he proves it. And he proves it again and again and again. You can have that real friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask this, why is it so hard for so many people to find a true friend? Most of the reasons is because we're not being a real friend. We're interested in having them, not interested in being one. Real love's not getting. Real love is giving. Amen. And if we want to be a real friend, we might get a real friend. God, I don't believe God is interested in giving you a good friend just so you can use that friend. We're living in a using generation. I mean, they will use and discard people like crazy. Amen. Selfishness is the opposite of love. Selfishness is the opposite of friendship. Amen. Is God your friend? Not just for you to use Him. Are you following? Not just for you to use Him. If God's your friend, if He's really a friend, it's for you to show some friendship back to Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Amen. Fellowship with Him. Live for Him. Try to honor Him. Build up His name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have invitation time. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to come. We're going to give just a short invitation. The Lord spoke to you, you need to come. I want to give you that opportunity. You obey the Lord and do whatever He says do as He speaks to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray You take these words. Lord, I can't exalt and praise the Lord Jesus enough for how good You've been, for what a friend that we do have in Jesus, for what a friend for sinners Jesus is. Lord, I thank You for that. But Lord, help us be a friend. I want to be a friend to Jesus. And I want to be a friend to others. I want to be a friend to my fellow Christian. My fellow laborer in the gospel. Father, help me be that kind of friend. Help me to be careful that I don't get selfish. That I don't get self-centered. That I don't get tunnel vision. That I don't see what's beside me. Or those beside me. But Lord, that I might be able to be a help and a blessing. That I might bear their burden. That I might pray for them. I might strengthen them spiritually. I might try to help them be their best. That I might show them real love for the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray help in this invitation time according to Thy will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. While we sing, get ready to sing. If the Lord spoke to you, if you need to come, if you need to call on the Lord, you'll find Him a very present help. You'll find Him a friend willing to help if you'll come to Him while we sing.